Well, Ty, we're not really doing the 12 days of Christmas this year, but
we had to do that intro.
Because
I love that intro, by the way.
We were meaning to do this last year.
Yes.
In person.
Yes.
Tyler and I got sick, and it was really, we still did the podcast without Ed.
We didn't want to expose him to our illness.
We had, you know, when you have when you're sick and then you got the very like Barry Manilow voice. We like did the podcast like that.
Very, very Barry.
We were very manly during that.
Barry White, that was the Barry White episode.
So, Ty. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
It's Friday.
It's exciting. Yeah. I'm excited about our guest today. As you can see, we dressed for the season.
Yes.
The season is upon us. We're mere weeks away from the big day.
Where did this...
Do you like it when people ask you if you're ready for Christmas?
I'm not.
No. It's probably my most hated question.
I guess
that's pretty extreme. I don't know. I'm being really touchy.
You're the worst question.
Anybody. Don't ask me that. No, just kidding.
Don't you dare. It's July.
It's July. I'm not ready.
Yeah.
September 23rd, 4th. I'm not ready. Okay. I'm super excited. Let's bring Dr. Edlow on. Much anticipated. Very much excited to have him on the show with us today. How are you, Dr. Edlow?
Oh, I'm great. I got Christmas sweater on to be in the mood. And
there it is.
Just to match up with you guys.
It looks like we all got the memo today.
I got a beverage. That's important.
Very nice.
Oh.
Little Bailey's in there, perhaps. Cheers. I want to show you mine, but I think we need to see yours, Ed. We got to see the whole. Can you stand up and show us?
On there.
There it is.
The reindeer. There you go.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's a gorgeous sweater.
That makes my little manger scene, my nativity scene, pales in comparison to your
legit. Yeah.
This is a prize winner, I'm sure.
It is a prize winner. You can win a contest with that sweater for sure.
Ed, you're a prize winner. Just so you know.
It's a gift, really.
It is a gift. So thanks for being on the show with us today, Ed. We want to jump in. We know it's a busy Friday. We all got lots going on. So today we want to talk a little bit about virtual consults. We know that you've been using them to great effect and having success with them. We just want to jump in with you and find out. I mean, the nature of this program, we've kind of pivoted a little bit, and we've given it a title saying, will this bring value to my practice? We started dabbling in the virtual consultation realm a couple of years ago. Obviously, it came out of COVID. We started putting virtual consult tools together for some of our clients, you being one of them. And we just want to circle back with you and find out directly from the man himself, Dr. Edlow, on like how virtual consults are going for you. And do you find that it brings value to your practice?
Well, I don't know what other people are doing. Let me ask you a question. How has it been going for the people that have been using it?
That is a good question.
Has it been working well for them?
Well, yes and no. I think it's still a tool that everybody's figuring out where it fits.
Yeah.
I think there is a definite strong place for it. If we're talking about like a bigger case or orthodontics, even in an emergency situation, somebody's in pain, I've seen it being used to success there.
Yeah.
Where I've seen it, and now Tyler and I have like a good base of data to back this too. Mm-hmm. Where we see it being used to the highest effect is definitely in those setting up a like whatever it might be, it might lead to orthodontics, but a cosmetic conversation. That's where it starts off a big talk about sort of the overall appearance of a smile and some like how folks feel behind that. And now where people are initiating that conversation differs. Some it's part of their formula in their practice where they're sending out a link and scheduling that. And then Ed, in your case, and I think you're going pretty gangbusters with it, is we've actually parked that virtual consultation widget on your website, allowing a potential patient to jump onto your website and your Dentist On Demand profile too, and then book a like schedule it themselves with you with the tool that we set up. So I think it's evolving, and I'll let you jump in.
Well, you know, I was just kind of setting the table for whether people are using it a lot or not. I find it of great value. It's just one of many tools you have that you have different patients in practice. And certainly some people like using a virtual console, some people want to come in person, some people want to hear your voice. There's different types of media that are all successful. I think the virtual console works well when you've got a person who says, well, I'm pretty media savvy. COVID did wonders for us in the sense that everybody's being familiar with using Zoom and other types of media to be able to communicate. And I think a lot of people are a little bit more savvy with that technology, and being able to use that in dentistry has been helpful for me, setting up a virtual console. And so I find that patients that use it, a lot of them aren't sure whether they want to come in. The number one is that you've got the look-y-loosers, I'm not sure, I just want to be sure I'm doing the right thing, I don't want to spend a lot of money, I'll do a virtual console. The second type of people are specific people where they say, we know you, we've seen your website, I have a specific thing I need to come in for, and I would like more information on it. And then you get the person who just says, you know, they have this idea, but they don't know, they want questions answered more than anything. So they have a number of questions about dentistry and trying to maybe find a dentist as opposed to having something specific. So it's very nice to have this variety. I think the way it's set up for me is that on Calendly and on the website, I'll walk you through a process of how that works. Usually a patient would go on the site and I've set up specific times where I'm available. Do not set this up in the middle of your day where you're running around with patients. That's probably not a good idea. And so set up specific times, for me, it might be in the evening, after work, depending on your schedule. And whatever time you have free, that you know you're not going to be doing anything. Does that make sense?
It does. Ed, that's exactly like we've obviously chatted about all this, and it's awesome to see you. It's a tool that's kind of become part of your workflow. So it's awesome to see. My question is of the folks that you're having a conversation with virtually, how many of those folks are actually becoming patients of record, patients that are coming to your practice?
I would say out of 10 people that do a virtual consult, seven to eight. Become my patients of record.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why that is, they come in at least for an initial face-to-face consult after that. And the reason is, realistically, dentistry is not an easy thing to be able to, I mean, I can't examine a person virtually. They can do this, look at that, and put their face up, and they often do, or they get a flashlight. Or they'll email me photos. However, I think the whole point of virtual consult is initial contact, and I find many people want to just talk, and they're making decisions too. They're deciding whether they like you.
Yeah,
maybe the way you look, maybe your voice, the way you talk, the information you give, how good a communicator you are. I mean, all those things are important as well. And so I'm finding that part of the process is I'm answering their questions in the end. I invite them to come to the office for a consult. They don't have to. But I highly recommend they do that.
in order to gather more information on the question or procedure they have. Let's say Mark, coming in from small, you had some questions, and Mark, you know, what other questions do you have at the end of it, and I'll usually say, Mark, I need some more information for you. Would you be willing to come in for a consultation in my office where I can answer more questions for you. I give you more precise details. And you know, I'll go through what I do, I'm going to gather some radar graphs, photographs, we'll do an intro scan, and so that in the end, Mark, whether you decide to do anything or not, you're going to walk away with the information you need, whether you see me or anyone else. It's just my job to keep you well informed of what you're considering.
And this is awesome. Like, and to consider this too, the dollar value of some of these cases that folks are going to invest in, it's not a small amount of money. So part of this whole workflow is, the folks do need to choose the right clinician to carry out their vision. They have to be comfortable with the person that's going to be doing that work and confident with that. So I think, you know, that all plays into it. And I where people, like where the industry and where other clinicians are getting hung up is they're uncomfortable with, like we talked about this, they're uncomfortable to be like the joke is like, you know, lack of a better words. The joke is it's no different of a conversation than you would be having with that patient if they were in your practice. The difference is you've made yourself more accessible to that patient. Like, what are the chances that somebody walk off the street, Ed, that want to have a conversation with you, walk into your practice?
I'm on the sixth floor of a medical building. It's not very often they're going to walk off the street.
Yeah, yeah,
although,
exactly.
Although my practice, you know, 18 years ago was at retail level, and you would occasionally have someone walk. I think that having a virtual consult and meeting them is comfortable for people. They feel safe. And even when they come in for a consultation in the office after the virtual consult, in the end, they want to feel safe because they're walking away with information. I always see that. I think, you know, I'm a fee-for-service practice. And for me, I treat patients like my family. I go, listen, this is what the information. This is why we're doing it. I think a lot of dentists go immediately to, what's your insurance cover this? Or, you know, we can send a predetermination, let's find out what it covers. They're so focused on that. And the patient just simply wants to get some questions answered. And so all that gets ignored, you know, because I think the consult is giving them the information. People don't buy what they don't understand. And the virtual consultation helps the patient make an informed decision. In the end, honestly, I care less whether I do the work or somebody else does the work. I consider it a job well done when the patient walks away understanding their choices and can make an informed decision on which direction they're going to go. That makes me happy.
And to add to that, I think that to propose options or to, like you said, educate the patient when they've come in, you've got them in a safe environment and you're like, you know what? Okay, so you've communicated to me what you're looking to improve in your smile. Here's two or three different options or two or three different treatment plans we could go with for you. So as long as you're not saying, here's what we should do, here's one plan, let's stick with it. Here's your options. And I say that from a personal perspective, because I had some dentistry work done years ago. And the first person I asked said, we should do this. And then I thought about it for a while and I'm like, that's a lot of money. Holy smokes. Okay, well, let me think about it. You know, I was 25 years old, so it wasn't exactly rolling in dough back then. And then after I kind of shopped around and got a few more opinions. Well, it took me a long time and about 2 or 3 appointments with clinicians to find out that I should probably do ortho first before considering any kind of veneers or cosmetic work. Yeah. But, you know, again, it was that going into the office, it took me a couple of tries to get some more information. So being able to sit with a patient online in a virtual consult and say, here's a couple options. Let me just run you through what you might be able to do. Just that alone, I think, is a powerful tool.
Well, I think that is absolutely correct, Tyler. I think that with an ability to give patient more information, you'd be surprised at how many people come in and they've got this white veneer mode or a mode they want to go. But they walk out of my office getting Invisalign or it's not a veneer case, or I tell them no. And they're surprised, they go, you don't want to do that. But then many clinicians have veneer and everything. Whether it's the right choice or not, whether it's the right decision for the patient or not, they just don't have other tools that they're looking at.
Right.
Like I always like to say, it's funny, I don't fix bathrooms and kitchens. I build houses.
Yeah.
And what that means is when you come in as a patient, I look at you, the whole thing, the whole package, everything in there. I don't just zero in on your six front teeth. Meanwhile, the rest of your mouth is falling apart or has periodontal disease, or you're missing teeth, just focus with that.
Right. I find times to focus on what they like doing.
If you're missing teeth, you can't plunk implants in there regardless of what's going on. Or if you're plunking in white teeth no matter what's going on.
Is the industry missing the boat there? Do you think? Is it more about cash flow and revenue? Is that where things are turning, in your opinion? I don't know. I mean, that's a different conversation. Yeah, maybe we won't go there.
Am I making decisions for my industry?
I don't know. I think it's more important sometimes that dentists focus on what they're doing rather than what other people are doing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what other people do. I just focus on what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
Ed, I got a question. Sorry, go ahead. I'm going to cut you off. Okay, so let's do a role play. I'm a relatively new dentist, and I find everything that you're saying today compelling. I want to get into virtual consults. Once the tool is set up, so say Mark and I come in, we set up a virtual consultation tool on that clinician's website. What next steps would you recommend?
Well, you've got it set up. I was diluting to it early.
You're looking at the stock market today, I take it.
If you're going to set up at a time that you're available, Tyler, you're setting up virtual consult, make yourself available.
Because I don't think you should be late for a virtual consult or miss the virtual consult because you're not ready.
Right.
So set a time that you're going to be available, not distracted, have a nice background. Don't look disheveled, like put on your best Christmas sweater.
Don't look diluted.
Because they're judging you too. Your patient's judging you by looking through this camera, and you've got to look professional.
And be yourself. Don't go into doctor mode. Have some personality.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%.
A lot of people go into doctor mode, and that's not who they really are. For me, you'd be surprised when you come into my office. Tyler, you've been in my office. I'm just like a group of friends when I talk to my patients, and it's a comfortable atmosphere, and I think patients aren't expecting the stiff, dark patient talk.
It's such a nice, warm environment in there too.
Yeah, absolutely, because you don't want them to feel intimidated.
So first of all, dress appropriately. Be well groomed in your appearance. Be on time. Greet the patient by name.
Certainly, I don't want to call, you know.
Who are you guys again?
Yeah. Why are you here?
Yeah.
is it even Tim I'm talking to?
You know, I understand who they are, and I always say congratulations for taking this first step. Because it is the first step for a lot of people. They're timid, they're not sure, and I think that giving them reassurance that they're doing the right thing. Goes a long way. So typically, I would say, Tyler, congratulations for setting up your console and getting started on your journey. I understand you want to have some cosmetic bonding, for example. You want to do some bonding, and I often don't do all the talking. And I'll just say, Tyler, what questions can I answer for you?
Yeah. And that information is captured.
Sorry, Mark. I just want to quickly jump on that. So that information is captured ahead, and we can always show this on my phone. But when the patient comes to your website and they click on book a virtual consult,
let's show her here.
It gives them,
because this is what I was going to get into. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Mark. So I'm on your website now. So I book on a, you know, I can click on this book a virtual consultation here.
And from here you can put there's a form where patients fill out and they can. You know, Dr. Lowe, you're not just jumping into it, like figuring out what it is that they're there for. You have some predetermined questions that they've filled out for you. So,
yes.
So they'll pick a time from the calendar here, and then there'll be a form. So I think we need to move to the next month here. Bear with me. But anyways, it'll do it. There's a data capture form where the patient can fill out. It's almost like a new patient form where they'll indicate what their chief concern or what they're looking to have done, correct?
Yes, I think asking why you're making the consult, and they have a choice of choosing audio or visual, because some people are just not comfortable with visual, that's okay too. And your chief concern is what they write down. You know, I had some bonding done, had a second opinion. I'd like implants done, and I'd like a second opinion or more information, or usually it goes something like that. I had something done 10 years ago and I was considering doing this. I mean, obviously for them to book a consultation, they've done some research on you.
They know a little bit about you. You're not, you're the mystery. They probably researched the topic, when they come in and go, I think timber one needs a porcelain here with felt porcelain. They've been reading.
You might be getting a second opinion.
I don't know that, for the lay person, they've done some research. I find that a lot of people have done some research before you're ready to reach out. Because it's a big step to go live now because you want to have some questions asked, and they come with questions. I'll continue what I do in a consult. I like to let them talk. Asking leading questions, I like asking open-ended questions versus yes, no questions. And allow the patient to do the talking. I don't interrupt them, don't correct them. Just hear them out, hear their story. And I think that, like I said, your ability to be compassionate and listen to what they have to say is a big part of it.
Can you give us an example of an open-ended question that you would ask, Ed?
Open-ended questions are who, when, where, how, and why questions.
Right?
Closed-ended questions for yes or no are things where you start with do you, would you, could you. And the answer you always give is a yes or no. So it doesn't allow the patient to talk. I find my favorite one, when I talk with admin people. They always say, do you want to book that appointment? Well, that's a closed-ended question. They'll say yes or no. And say, no, I don't want to at this time. Whereas if you say, what time works for your next appointment? They can't say yes or no. They might say, well, that time doesn't work for me. Does that make sense?
So an open-ended question, what brings you to the virtual consult today?
Why is it that you feel you need your anterior teeth redone? When did you last have it done? What don't you like about it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
That's super helpful.
And it gives me so much information. I can answer the question better. And it opens the conversation to making you, if Tyler, you were the person, get the answers you want. They feel more comfortable rather than can you do veneers?
No.
And I think, goodbye, thanks.
It achieves your goal, right?
You're wanting to get the information out of the patient. What is their vision? From that information, your answer is kind of yes or no, really. Whether that particular route is, you know, feasible for them. But it's making it about the patient.
You have to build rapport first before you jump straight into the conversation.
For sure.
They will not remember the technique or the technical so much as the rapport I built. Do they like me?
Yeah, I'm talking to them. I'm building rapport by asking questions.
Whether they schedule me for the consult is based on the rapport, not how good I am at answering questions.
Fully, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that you hit the nail on the head. Like, just be yourself and relax. I mean, I think that for anyone, you know, any dentist looking to start doing virtual consults, I think it can come across as daunting, right? It might be intimidating, might be daunting. Like, you know, I've asked many dentists, like, hey, have you considered doing virtual consults? And usually the response is like, oh, no, I don't want to get on camera. I don't want
to
do that.
But people don't know where to start.
They don't know where to start. And that's why I'm so grateful that you're sort of sharing your process with us, because I think it's insightful for people to understand, you know, that it doesn't have to be this contrived, you know, like you said, the doctor speak, like you don't have to put on airs. You don't have to present. It's really about being yourself, being competent, and just answering questions or asking open-ended questions, like you say.
It's about that.
A good friend of mine, Dr. Bramke, in Seattle, he and I used to teach together, but he used to have the best line I've ever heard. He would say, stop thinking like a dentist. When you're talking to a patient.
Right. Just talk normally and stop thinking like a dentist.
Just be yourself, be normal. And be approachable. I think that's a big part of what it is.
Yeah, it's not fair. Yes, I lecture, I speak, I stand in front of people.
I'm very comfortable talking. I think ways to get more comfortable is to do more Zoom calls. Do a little role playing like I did with you, Tyler. And you can do it with your team. And if you've had practice, just get comfortable with what you have to say, how you answer the question.
You know, I'm a word person. I choose words really carefully. The words I choose and the questions I ask have a huge impact on the results and the answers I get.
So I'm very careful choosing words.
I remember there was a word you brought to my attention. I think I used to use the word just a lot. I'm just calling to remind you, or I'm just following up with you. And I've kind of tried to get the word just out of my vocabulary, because I think you and I talked about this. It's almost like a way of preemptively apologizing for communicating with someone.
Just, yeah. I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm just here. Like, it's such a Canadian thing to say, hey,
I just want to go through all the words you don't want to use.
Yeah, that's our next session.
We're going to make a note of that.
Just is a word that trivializes things. I'm just going to do this. It's just a filling. It's just a cleaning. It just trivializes it. I just sit there.
You're using it all the time.
It trivializes it. If you take it out, it's a little bit more impactful.
Yeah.
And I caught my daughter. She loves saying, well, actually.
My son's like, I'm going this, actually.
I'm actually going to do this.
As opposed to begrudgingly, right?
Well, if you think of the opposite of actually, it's like, okay, so you're surprised you're actually enjoying this. See, now I went and said it. And I would say, as opposed to,
You're predetermined that you weren't going to enjoy this.
So you're shocked that you enjoyed your time with your dad today? Thank you, Colby.
Another winner.
My daughter's like using this one.
Actually, basically, and literally.
Literally.
He literally went there. And some people say that all the time. They catch themselves. Or basically, I don't want it basically. Just tell me, does it have to be basically?
Yeah. Or I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie has become a big one lately.
Well, you're going to lie.
But this time I'm not going to lie.
Right. So this tells me you're constantly lying. This time you're not. This is the one time you're going to be truthful with me. Thank you.
Next, we'll talk about when it's appropriate to drop the F-bomb, you know?
We can all have a laugh. I think it's up time. It's hard to work at choosing better words. I don't like saying things like booking an appointment. I like saying the word schedule an appointment. I don't like saying a recall exam, a recall card, a recare exam.
I don't have temp hygienists, doctors, guest doctors.
There's a lot of different, I have a page full of stuff I really think about. I don't say sorry for keeping you waiting this morning. I say thank you for waiting for me this morning.
Just those little switches, yeah.
The little switches have an impact, and honestly, virtually or personally, with a patient, I want to walk away feeling there's something about he or she I really like, I think we clicked. I'd like to be my dentist, or I'd like to join crack.
Can you imagine your entire team's trained like that? Yeah. It's almost like an assertive humility behind it, where it's like, I'm here, I'm a professional, I'm the top of my profession. At the same time, I'm very grateful that you're here and spending time with me on this virtual consult. Yeah. When you and I talk, that comes across to me that you have this humility and with professionalism, but you're also, you know, you're really sort of wrapping your arms around the patient saying, you know, I got you. Like, whatever we're going to do, we're going to do what suits you best, but we're going to explore a little bit and get there. Is, you know, starting with this virtual consult.
Yeah, and Tyler's my guest friend.
Yeah, I think it's super important. I love dentistry. I love people more than I love dentistry. I care about people. I think that level of care is in most dental professionals. We're in a caregiving profession. You know, and sometimes that message gets lost. I know it's challenging in your day-to-day, but never forget these patients are not a number. There's a face and a personality behind each person that you treat. And I think that you need to give that kind of consideration when you're treating a patient. They're not just a number. And sometimes we forget that when we get really busy and stressed out, you're running behind, and it's the little things that they're going to remember you for. I'm always surprised when somebody says, I can't believe that you took the time to call me after work to see how I was doing. Or you give a care call, or I can't believe you came in on your day off.
It does go a long way.
Ed, are you using the virtual consultation, or it wouldn't be a consultation at that point, but are you using that virtual conversation post after things have been put in place?
So like follow-ups and whatnot.
Absolutely, like when something has been finished for a patient, we want to follow up to see how they're doing, how they're managing that. You mean post-treatment?
Yeah, are you doing that on a virtual call with them?
I haven't done a virtual call with them necessarily. But we do an audio call. My team will call to see how they're doing. We could set up a virtual call. I think that my team does a lot of the groundwork for a follow-up call because we have time. So if I spread it in my team or the analyst in the room, we call their calls to see how they're doing, it works. I think virtual, I haven't thought about using it as a virtual call because once again, it's a little more
it's a little tougher. You have to set up a time. Here's my challenge. If a person calls in virtual console, they've set a time, you're going to be there. They want me to be there. But a follow-up call, I find that often I'm leaving a message when I do audio. So imagine if I set it virtually. Oh, no one there. Or they have to set a time. And it's a little, honestly, Mark, I think that would. It's not as time efficient or effective as it could be with an audio call, but vice versa, the initial virtual console, hugely valuable.
What about saving somebody the trip coming into the practice, say it's an ortho checkup? Just to see where things
are. Like a clear liner checkup.
Would you think that would be an appropriate place for a virtual conversation?
You can. I think if you start using it for your patients to call in virtually to check on how they're doing, that's great. I think there's some limitations with certain things, like they can't call in for a shade selection. And other things as well, you just can't do. You just have to physically be there.
Invisalign, I have to scan them. I can't do that virtually. They have to come in if there's something off.
If they say, well, we're struggling with being able to get the tray on, maybe I'll be able to show them virtually and save some time. I think that if a person's out of town, we can save some time by doing some planning ahead of time and using virtual console to see how they're doing.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Total sense. The next step for us, Ed, is to, we're going to put some content together and actually have the funnel go to the virtual consultation booking. So somebody sees the ad, they click on it and book with you. So that's sort of next steps for us. So I'm pretty excited about
that. That's what we're doing with that, you mean?
That's right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
I think it's great. Great. Yeah.
Cool. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's I like to see you know, we've had a number of people having success with this tool, and I know that you're one of them, and you're probably having, you know, the most success in my opinion. Just, you know, watching the way you do it, the way you deliver information to people is so effective. So sharing this with us today, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, and I'll add to that too, sir. Hit.
We're just gonna keep jumping on you.
You
lost me. There I am.
The center camera's gone. We've actually gained a lot of insight and knowledge when talking to you know, other colleagues of yours. So thank you for being sort of a sounding board for us and allowing us to pick your brain.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah. You know, I think that being in practice for 36 years, you make 36 years worth of mistakes and hopefully gaining some wisdom from that. I guess what wisdom is about is making lots of errors throughout your career. But if I can shorten the number of mistakes some of my colleagues make, that'd be great. I always say this, I'm just borrowing it for, at best, another 10 years and giving it to somebody else. Because I'm in later career, practicing for 36 years. But somebody starting out may use that information and have fewer speed bumps along the way. And so they've got a smoother ride to get to where they want to go.
And that, sir, is why you're one of the good ones.
Thank you so much for being on this with us today. We really appreciate your time. Moving on to the next chapter, you got a busy weekend ahead? What's happening?
Oh, I'm just kind of hanging out this weekend. We got our team dinner, staff dinner, Christmas dinner, Joe Forte's tonight.
Oh, nice. And it'll be fun.
There'll be close to 20 of us there.
It's a beautiful spot.
It's time to celebrate. But I think there's a couple weeks left. Our last days. 21st, and we usually have some fun games on that last day, so it'll be good.
That's my birthday, celebrate the year and celebrate the team.
For sure, yeah. Awesome. Is there anything new and upcoming for you? Are you doing any courses? Are you doing any presentations? Anything we can share with our audience?
I'll be doing, I'm going to India to do a presentation with my ceramics
at the end of January.
For the Academy of Cosmic Industry, and then
in March at the PDC, I believe I am doing a live patient prep and seat some veneers.
We're working out the details to be able to do it on a Thursday morning, Friday afternoon is tricky.
But trying to pull that out, possible collaboration, trying to put some golf in there and a couple trips here and there, so it's good balance in life. Very cool.
Totally.
Yourself, you guys going to have a hang around here for the holidays, or going anywhere?
I got to put up some Christmas lights. I'm late.
You're running out of time.
I'm running out of time.
It's not snowing. You better get out there.
It's not snowing, so I might be spending the afternoon putting up lights. Well, no, I got to work this afternoon, but I think tomorrow morning you'll probably see me high up on a ladder. Hopefully it's not raining too much in the morning.
At a certain time in your life, Tyler, you don't do that anymore. Strings on slippery rooftops.
I am not there yet, Ed. Okay. I still feel 35.
I'm there. I woke up this morning and I couldn't even move my left shoulder.
Yeah, this guy's hobbled this
morning.
I'm
getting old.
So
the bed's destroyed me somehow here. Anyways.
So what happened? You slept on your
arm? I think I've slept funky, you know, and you wake up and you just kind of have that, just this little sore point in there.
I think he injured himself at hockey and he's scared to admit it.
Actually.
Awesome.
Cool.
Ed, you have a great weekend. Thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. We'll talk again soon. We'll do it again another time. Pick another topic.
Absolutely. Thank you. We're grateful that we can just drop it on you and you're ready to jump on with us.
You got your Christmas sweater on and ready to go.
All right.
Can we part with some jingle bells or something?
I didn't get the sound effects.
Okay. No. All right, Ed. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Cheers.
Cheers.